Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome from the HQ of the Media Research Center, where we fact check those reporters who would claim they are independent and facts-based and don't make partisan propaganda for a living. We'll be the judge of that. We are in week two of Hide Your Kids, wall-to-wall Trump criminal trial coverage. They're sitting live outside the courthouse on CNN in their fancy outfits that have probably been featured in Vogue magazine. Plaid overcoat, $1,250. Fancy outfits that match their fancy faces with the plastic surgery. But they're speaking on behalf of the common man, right? On Monday, the trial stopped early, didn't stop CNN. They're still sitting outside the courthouse. Trump trial today, all day. Meanwhile, my latest dig at National Public Radio is about Odette Youssef, who is described as their domestic extremism correspondent. On Friday's Liberal Things Considered, she was fussing that Donald Trump's complaints about the trial could endanger the lives of the jurors. So much news today is speculative spin designed to denigrate. So much of the cable news commentary on the Trump trial is speculative spin. Where does it go from here? Will he be ruined this time? Are the walls finally closing in? All right, so for Odette Youssef, let's turn this around on the Trump's gonna get people killed idea. We've all heard the Jim Acostas of the world suggest that criticizing the media is going to get them killed. Well, if that was true, Newsbusters would be like the lyrical gangsters, if that's the wild chatter we're going to spread around. But did you ever notice leftists get to engage in all kinds of violent talk without anyone suggesting, gee, that could end badly? Fox News pointed out Hillary Clinton's outburst on a podcast hosted by her old lawyer for her campaign, Mr. Mark Elias. She suggested that Donald Trump wants to kill his opposition. Listen.
You know, his bromance with Putin, and it was actually called that, I think, by the former prime minister of Australia, who said he saw Trump with Putin, and Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin, because Putin does what he would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants.
We have one question. Where are the independent fact checkers? That's like, where is my automobile? Anyway, Trump's just gaga over Putin because Putin does what Trump would like to do. Yeah, okay. If we use the typical Daniel Dale / PolitiFact standard, you'd say, there's no evidence Donald Trump ever said, I'd love to kill my opposition like Putin does, but nobody will let me. It sounds a little like Steve Martin back in the movie All of Me. He's talking back at Lily Tomlin, you know, who comes from old money. And he said, I loved this line. Oh, it's 40 years ago. 1984. To say it like Tom Brokaw. Steve Martin's character says, just because my grandfather didn't rape the environment and exploit the workers doesn't make me a peasant. And it's not that he didn't want to rape the environment and exploit the workers. I'm sure he did. If I could find the clip on YouTube, I would run it. But over on Fox's Media Buzz, Howard Kurtz asked former Speaker Kevin McCarthy about Hillary's kill the opposition comments. McCarthy pushed the conservative line on this, that the Democrats are the danger to democracy. They're the ones dragging their opponent into court, They're the ones trying to rip his name off the ballot, and now they're trying to keep the craziest candidate off the ballot. Listen.
So, Hillary Clinton on a podcast. I got to ask you about this.
What?
Trump was just gaga over Putin because Putin does what Trump would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive journalists and others into exile. I particularly don't like that last part. What do you think of the former presidential candidate's remarks?
I think she's upset that she lost, but also let's think about what she said. She said Putin drives the opponent away. What are they doing to President Trump today? They put him on trial. And let me ask everybody in America, does anybody in America believe President Trump would be on trial today if he wasn't running for president? Nobody believes that. What did they try to do? They tried to remove him from the ballot to even have the opportunity to be voted.
Which was outrageous.
Now what are they doing? They're spending all their time trying to remove Kennedy from the ballot. These people talk about a democracy.
Danger to democracy.
They are the dangers to try to deny democracy to this country. This is really concerning to me what the Biden and the Democrats have done. I mean,
I want to get into the trial more in the next segment.
But has Hillary ever said she lost the 2016 election?
Yeah, she called Donald Trump and conceded.
But she never in press ever says that. Says it was.
She did call Donald Trump and concede.
Now, most people on Twitter got that tiny end piece of that from the Midas Touch folks. ABC reporter Terry Moran, not Mr. Fair and Balanced, tweeted out this shortened clip that looks like Howard Kurtz was fact-checking McCarthy. And technically, he's right. Hillary actually conceded. She didn't concede in real time. She had to wait all night. You know, the speculation was she got wasted out of her mind or she just cried all night. But she did not concede like most people do. She waited till the next day, which if that's what you want to do. Terry Moran tweeted about what he thinks Kevin McCarthy was saying. A bald-faced lie. Clinton conceded the election on 11/9/2016. That's the Wednesday. While she has complained about Comey, Russian interference, etc., as Nixon complained about Daley, Texas, etc., she admits she lost, never tried to overthrow the results in court or by inciting mobs. But facts don't matter to these folks. Well, but the fact of the matter is, yes, she did concede the election, but that doesn't mean that in 2017 there weren't members of Congress that stood up and took exception to the results. And that Hillary Clinton, and this is what Kevin McCarthy was trying to say, he got cut off. I mean, maybe he should have talked a little longer so it wouldn't have been shortened the way it was. And that is, yes, she conceded. Then she went on and went everywhere where people love her and say the election was stolen from her. It was quite routine. She was still saying the election was stolen from her in 2019. This is what Kevin McCarthy is trying to say. She's a very sore loser, and Trump is too. Then my Twitter pal Mike LaChance pointed out this tweet from Democrat candidate Nate McMurray. He's quite a jerk. He's running against a Republican for Congress in the 26th District of New York. He lost badly when he tried for this seat in 2020. He got 37% of the vote. After the latest foreign aid vote in the House, he tweeted this, Slava Ukraine, die, mega die, you lose. See, if you're a Democrat, you can tweet, die, mega die. What is this? Is this like a James Bond movie written by that Muslim comedian Dean Obadalla? If we use the left's logic, Nate McMurray wants to kill his opposition. If you tweet die, mega die, that would seem to suggest you want mega dead. Isn't that right, Hillary Clinton? Now, everything in the wake of what McMurray tweeted afterwards was like, yeesh, the MAGA folks are giving it to him. He's giving it back. I seriously try to tweet conscientiously. Maybe I don't always succeed. I generally think of what my mom might say before I hit send. I don't think my mom goes on Twitter, but, you know, I still think about it. It's not good to wish that your enemies or just terrible people in general die. Die, Hamas, die! Sounds like a tweet you could feel justified about. It's just not good form. But on the left today, Hamas is viewed as more virtuous than people wearing red MAGA hats. Hamas is on behalf of victimized people. I mean, you can tell. You can protest on campus for Hamas, and people said, free speech, free speech. Just notice this. On the left, the American conservative is always the most evil enemy. Don't bother with enemies abroad. No one on the left is really an enemy. Not compared to those domestic extremists on the right wing, the Christian nationalists, the Sandy Hook deniers, whatever the species. NPR's Odette Youssef can't do any tough pieces on Ilhan Omar, speaking of domestic extremists, because her base at NPR is all for Ilhan Omar. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, where Ilhan Omar speaks at fundraisers, they can be explicitly pro-Hamas massacre. They don't end up in the domestic extremists category. No, at NPR, they say this is an important advocacy group for us to listen to. This is part of what I think Uri Berliner was trying to say about NPR, is they're carefully listening to pro-Hamas media manglers. And every time a conservative says, what about our point of view, we're arguing in bad faith. Yes, that's what NPR's so-called public editor, Kelly McBride, thinks. Conservatives automatically argue in bad faith because they don't believe in public radio. Well, they certainly don't believe in taxpayers funding for hate speech against them. Odette Youssef sounds not fair and balanced, like her paycheck comes from the American people, writ large. Odette Youssef sounds like she's paid by Dean Obadalla. He'll love that I mentioned him twice. Now, the Meet the Press gang was a little happy on Sunday. Polling analyst Steve Kornacki announced in the latest NBC News poll, Donald Trump does lead Biden 46-44. But this is a tightening from the last NBC poll. That was 5 points, now down to 2 points. Progress for Biden over the last 3 months. And so Kristen Welker comes in and interjects, coming after the State of the Union, and he's had a campaign blitz. Biden had a campaign blitz? Yes, his numbers are up now that he's out talking about cannibals eating his relatives. No, sorry, the poll was taken before he started talking about cannibals. Kornacki also said when you add in the third-party candidates in the NBC poll, Biden's ahead of Trump, 39-37. RFK, I think, was at 14. So, you know, they were saying, well, generally the convention of wisdom is that RFK hurts Biden more, but you can look at this poll and maybe not. Now, we can guess poll after poll comes in. They're going to shift a little bit this way and a little bit that. And who knows if any of them are actually real. There's only one real poll. That's on election day. What is not shifting from poll to poll is the media's eternal hostility to Trump. It is never ending. It is never softening. So it is mildly amusing when they start to complain that all of this hostility just isn't working in destroying his electability. Here's how a sad Andrea Mitchell analyzed it on Sunday.
Andrea, pick up on that point, because this is all going on against the backdrop of Donald Trump in court for his first criminal trial this week.
The fact is, We don't know how that is going to play. Up until now, these legal cases have only helped him fundraising, made him, you know, tell people he's the victim, energized his base. And so he's risen in the polls with every indictment. Now we're going to see him really powerless. The judge has been very effective, and how they handle the gag order is yet to be seen. While Joe Biden is campaigning, the problem for Joe Biden and for the Democrats is it's Trump is crowding out, the trial is crowding out everything else. So Joe Biden goes out and does major policy things, the steel tariffs in Pennsylvania, everything else that he's doing, student loans breaking through a little bit, but everything else is crowded out. And it's the Trump story. And that's what happened in 2016 to Hillary Clinton. And that could be replicated this year.
Newsbusters analyst on Sunday, Jorge Bonilla, put it this way for us. Mitchell's portrayal of Clinton here as a victim of history and not as the failed beneficiary of the campaign to drown Trump in free media. Yes, Hillary wanted Trump to be the nominee. All of these people wanted Trump to be the nominee. That's why he was getting endless live coverage. That and the fact that the ratings were good. Trump could go out there and boast, they love me, the ratings are good. The ratings were good. And we were complaining in 2015 that it was a very unbalanced amount of coverage. They gave a dramatic amount of free media to Trump and kind of ignored the other guys, which is sort of what happened again in 2023. Most of their attention was on Trump and his legal problems. They didn't want to focus on Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley? Who cares? That was the media's approach. Even Andrea Mitchell. Andrea Mitchell, aren't you supposed to be for Madam President? Oh, no. They're only for Madam President if it's Hillary Clinton. You know, President Ocasio-Cortez, you know. No President Nikki Haley. Jorge also pointed out the current coverage presents Biden as the purest victim of the calamities of our present day in media coverage. And our boss, Brent Baker, made the obvious point. She's sitting here complaining about how Biden's being drowned out. Baker says, as if media is powerless to change coverage priorities. Yes, Biden could make as much news as he wants to. He just has to come out and stand in front of a bank of microphones and say stuff. And the problem is, his handlers are all like, we're not going to let them do that. We don't need more talk of cannibalism. This is the funny thing. You know, I did a piece over the weekend on how Brian Stelter was denied campaign credentials or, you know, to sit with the rest of the press in watching a Trump rally in Pennsylvania. Washington Post reporter Isaac Arnsdorf denied campaign credentials because he wrote a book about how MAGA wants to end democracy. Yeah, the Trump campaign was sort of like, no, you don't get a privileged seat. And then they pretend that Trump's the only one that's ever done this, like the Democrats have never kept Fox News off a plane. But Arnsdorf, of course, is like sitting in the audience. He's still watching it. He's just not with the rest of the reporters. So cry a river. Over on ABC, they also had 2016 on the brain. Writes Priebus, former Republican Party chairman, was boasting that Trump wins even when the media are hyper-negative. Obviously, he overcame all of this in 2016. They get so angry. Why is it that the American voters don't listen to us when we tell them how to vote? Jonathan Martin disagreed with Priebus. He said, I think if the election's about Trump, Biden's got a lot better chance. And right now, Biden's problem is this election is about Joe Biden. I don't think that's true. For most of Biden's presidency, not just right now. Now, I don't have encyclopedic numbers on this, but certainly to us, we watch a lot of news here all day long. It has seemed like Donald Trump routinely draws more attention than the current president of the United States. No one can question Trump draws more criticism in the media than the current president of the United States. They can say about Biden being overshadowed. Biden was overshadowed last time and he won narrowly. Biden's being overshadowed again, and that apparently is the way the Biden campaign likes it. Sorry, Andrea Mitchell. Did Hillary Clinton not to listen to whatever Andrea Mitchell's advice was in 2016? Does that make her bitter? Andrea Mitchell's mad now that somehow all this focus on Trump is hurting Biden. You know, the reality is they just can't quit Trump. That's the reality. I mean, we're watching all these hundreds of minutes of coverage of this trial, and we're like, yeah, at least in the O.J. Simpson case, two people were violently stabbed to death. Here we have these trials like E. Jean Carroll claims that she was sexually assaulted in a dressing room by Trump in a year that she can't remember. And that's supposed to be momentous. Here we are again, that apparently the way that some accountant in Trump land classified an expense for a non-disclosure agreement with Stormy Daniels, which she then went and egregiously broke because she wanted to be more famous. And she certainly made a lot of money off that. You know, obviously, we lived through the Clinton years. And whenever Clinton had a sexual accuser, except for the one, except for the intern, Monica Lewinsky, that woman, Miss Lewinsky, all the other accusers were treated as somebody, as trailer trash or as people who weren't honest. Juanita Broderick was trashed because, well, she didn't come forward till this late date. And it was always, these things were always the oldest news that no one should care about. Well, what is the Trump trial? This is the oldest of news about NDAs drawn up in 2016. And all the conservative radio hosts that I listen to have hammered this point. How many NDAs did Matt Lauer's people get? The people who were assaulted by Matt Lauer. You don't think they handed out NDAs? How many NDAs at the networks? You know, it would be so much fun for us to be the Steve Doocy and the media had to have a KJP where we could just ask them questions and they'd have to actually defend themselves. Excuse me, Mr. NBC, ABC, CBS, how many NDAs do you have out there when you start lecturing about NDAs and hush money? How much hush money have you paid? I don't think they want to answer those questions. I mean, we should all be asking those questions, not that we're necessarily going to get any answers. But this is the sort of thing where they really have no moral standards. Their only standard is political, which is what will get Trump, capital G, capital T. They will grab anything that they can use to try to get Trump. But once again, just as in 2016, they really wanted this man to be the guy who was the nominee, who then they would try to convict of a crime during the campaign, because that's the way they drag their man over the finish line, yammering about cannibals. Yeah, I'm going to keep talking about that. Sorry. Until the next dumb thing he says, which might be, you know, later today. For all of this, to keep track of how Trump versus Biden is adjudicated by our not objective media, you come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for checking in.